Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I certainly didn't expect to be up here doing a sermon again so soon. And as you may remember, last time I did a sermon, it was supposed to be William, and once again, it's supposed to be William's turn, but once again, he's got other stuff that he just can't get away from. But I won't complain, though, because God seems to delight in giving me more sermons to do when I do complain. Also, as I've said before, I'm not a biblical scholar, and this time, because my car was broken down and got extra hours at work, I barely had time to do the research. But one thing I do notice is that when I do the research, I'm always more aware of what's going on in the gospel reading, that there's much more there than I would take just from reading through it. And so I can give you my knowledge on this, what I've learned, but any wisdom that you might get from this will have to come from the Holy Spirit. First off, I would look at our setting. Only Luke mentions this miracle. It's not mentioned in any of the other four Gospels. But Luke is very deliberate in pairing this story today with last week's story. Last week, as you may remember, he was talking about the centurion that sent one of his servants to Jesus to heal his servant. And the centurion sent the servant and said that I don't need to go there. You have got authority. All you need to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. And in our Old Testament reading today, we had Elisha, healing the widow's son. And in this case, we've got two stories that are match the two stories that are taking place here in Luke. The first one of the centurion matches a story in the Old Testament where Elijah healed Naaman, a Syrian general. And Naaman, of course, was not Jewish. He was a foreigner. And then Elijah healed the widow's son. Here, Jesus is also healing a widow's son. Now, one of the things that I always find kind of fascinating in the Bible is that there are a lot of places and people mentioned that certain scholars that are, let's say, skeptical will say, well, there's no evidence these places ever existed, and no, this person never existed. And then sometime years later, they'll find archaeological evidence, yeah, it did exist. Well, in this case, the city of Nain actually still does exist. It's even the name has survived. It's changed from N-A-I-N to N-E-I-N. It is a city in Galilee, about 6 miles from Nazareth, on the northwest slope of the hill of Morah. And this happens to be the same place that Gideon attacked the Midianites. Now, coming into town, there is a steep ascent, and on either side of the road, there's rock full of burial caves. Now, our story probably takes place about dusk around dusk time, because this was a very common time for Jewish funerals to be taking place. Now here we see two crowds. One crowd is going out of the town, and it's a funeral procession, and it's a large crowd headed to the cemetery. And they are full of death and sorrow. And then coming into the town is Jesus with his disciples. Now this isn't just his 12 disciples or even the 120. This is Jesus, the disciples, and a large crowd. They're headed into the city, full of life and hope. So we have two crowds and two journeys, and at the end of our story, the two crowds became one. We also have two sons. So it's, in some ways, it's a story of two people. One son was alive, was destined to die, and the other son was dead, but is destined to live. Luke starts off the story today with "soon afterward," which refers back to the story from last week with the centurion. So we have a parallel with the Old Testament with Elijah and Naaman, the Syrian general, and Elisha and the widow of Zarephath. Now when they're coming out of the town, the women, as was Jewish tradition, were usually leading the funeral procession and had great weeping. A lot of times they would hire professional mourners, but in this case the woman was probably too poor to pay for mourners. But it didn't really matter that much, because it seemed like the whole town had turned out to support her. And this was also because for a Jew it was a good work to go to the funeral, and any believing Jew would not neglect this. Now the bier that they were carrying was probably a wicker platform. There was no casket. The body would have been wrapped in a burial shroud with the face showing. So now here we have a case where the widow, obviously she's a widow, she has no husband. It can be seen right away that there's no husband there with her, and there are no children that are also mourning. So Jesus can see that this is a widow that has lost her only son. Now, a widow normally would move in with one of her children and would help with the family, and would the children would help work the farm. But she had no one to do this, and so her future was very bleak. There was no Social Security or community welfare or general relief for the poor. Now Jesus, when he sees him, starts out with something like he's commonly does. He has some strange words and strange actions. He says, "Don't cry." Well, this is a funeral. Her son's died. She's going to be crying. So right away we know that something is strange is going to happen, and he touches the bier. Now this is big no-no for Jewish people. He's defiling himself by touching the funeral bier. And at this point, all the attention is going to focus on Jesus, and everybody goes silent. Processions, both of them, stop. And what's he do next? He simply commands the corpse to sit up. There's no mention of faith. There are no prayers. The widow and her neighbors, none of them requested him to do anything. He just did it. His heart went out to the widow, and the widow is restored to a place of protection and safety and having a future. So what we see here is, first, we've got death, a physical death, not punishment of sin, because it's just a consequence that sin exists. And in death there is a separation of the body and spirit. And here the physical death is seen as at its worst because of the consequences to everybody else. We also see, secondly, that there is a lot of sorrow. But this is overcome suddenly with a resurrection. Now, we've been told before that Jesus' miracles are recorded so that we might believe that he is the Christ. And here we see that the whole thing happens because Jesus has compassion. And he touched the bier and defiled himself to raise the son from the dead. And what is the people's reaction? "A great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people." God at one time said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Jesus had compassion that day on the poor widow. Now by this, Jesus has established his credibility. Back in Nazareth, he had challenged the people that God sometimes works good among those who are not faithful to God. And the prophets served the non-Jews because prophets weren't accepted in their own land. So this is, again, another powerful illustration of God's love for all his creatures. This also provides continuity, showing God's purpose is healing and saving with no discrimination. And finally, it identifies Jesus. According to the proclamation of the crowds, the Lord has visited his people. They have recognized Jesus as being called by God, and that the work that he's doing is work of God. Now, at this point, Jesus has only revealed himself as the Son of Man, not as the Son of God. But he's more than a great teacher now. He's seen as the great prophet. Now, here we have a large crowd from both sides, both the funeral procession and Jesus' procession into the town. So we have a lot of people who are ready to spread out and tell everybody about what has happened here. And the widow had no means of financial support. The Lord was moved with compassion. And, of course, throughout the Bible, widows are frequently mentioned that they're supposed to take care of them. But chances are, if he hadn't raised her son, she would have been pretty destitute quickly, because they'd have more people dying and they'd have more people that they'd have to be taken care of. After the resurrection, the dead man is now alive, but most likely he's still not quite sure where he is. And we can see the bearers lowering him quickly to the ground. Jesus presented him to his mother, and instead of silence, now we've got talking, laughing, weeping for joy. And it's interesting to note, in the New Testament accounts, this is actually the first person that Jesus raised from the dead. However, this isn't seen as a singular occurrence. It's a sign that God is among us. And also, we've seen now that funerals, while they are sad occasions, something like this happens, they are certainly turned into time of joy. So we have a tragedy, a miracle, and the miracle is caused through compassion. A compassion that didn't require any prayer or faith or request on the part of anyone. That'll come later. This is also the first time that Luke uses the term Lord to refer to Jesus, hereby affirming that Jesus' deity, and that we're dealing with a person, but that person is the Lord. Now, later on, of course, Jesus will confirm his claims that he is the Son of God, but at this point, we're still just seeing the Son of Man. Now, when they're praising him, they're not actually praising Jesus at this point. It's not directed to him personally, it's directed at God. They're well aware that God had granted the miracle. So Jesus felt the sin that death had brought into the world and did something about it. Without having been asked or expected, he just did it. Now, this doesn't happen by coincidence. Everything happened according to God's timing. And Jesus was in control of everything. Now, Jesus wasn't sent to be a short-term solution for death. In fact, the son is going to go on later and die. Everybody will die and then be resurrected. But Jesus came to permanently end death's power, and all God's people said, Amen.